Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in Three Body Problem. One year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver five times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues, and today is Friday, which means this is This Week in Bachelor Nation. It's the first This Week in Bachelor Nation of Joey Grazia Day's Bachelor Season 28. We're going to be covering the ratings. How did it do Monday night? How do you think it did?
How did it do? Stay tuned.
How do you think it did, Pace Case?
I think it did well.
Just a prediction. I think it did as well. You're going to be very happy to hear how it did. I'll say that much. And we're going to give you all the tids. We're going to give you all of the parasocial plays. We're going to get to those screams at the end of this program. So join us for that. But before we begin any of that, we must mention right now on Patreon, our Patreon, Game of Roses Patreon. I should be more specific,
Patreon.com/Game of Roses.
Not just Patreon generally, but the Game of Roses Patreon. I am covering a program called Traitors that is on Peacock. It is one of the greatest reality shows ever made, in my opinion. It is the crowning jewel of third wave reality TV. And episode five of Traitors.
If you're not watching it, you're ruining your life. Sorry.
If you like reality TV at all, you're going to love this show. That's all I can say. But you should also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/GameRoses, because right now, Traitors episode five in Clues Corner is available.
I thought that they dropped three episodes at a time, so I thought you only did four and you still had five and six to do. So I've been refreshing our Patreon waiting for your corner, and I just realized it's not out.
They dropped episode 1, 2, and 3 on premiere day. Now they're trickling out one episode per week. It's
so long, so hard to wait.
It's like drug dealers. Your first hit is free. Now you gotta pay. And in this case, the payment is patience. All right, let's begin our program today with a very special state of the game. We got two great guests joining us for a conversation about Grazzi, about Golden, about third wave reality television, about, we talked about a lot of great stuff. I think you're going to absolutely love it. So enjoy this
Game of Roses. State of the game.
Today, we are humbled. We are honored to be joined by two very special guests for State of the Game. It's Justine Kay and Natasha Scott Reichel of Two Black Girls, One Rose. Thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. It's been a minute since we talked to you, and a lot has happened in the nation and reality TV at large. And I know you guys are, you're covering a lot of other shows now, including Traitors, which I want to get to. Possibly
don't
the greatest
worry,
show ever
we'll get
made.
To Traitors.
It's pretty good.
Wow. Talking about it.
Pretty damn good.
Yeah, that's correct. But let's start off by talking about Joey Grazia Day's Night One. It just aired. Got some big ratings. We're getting news that it added viewers, which is something a Bachelor season hasn't done in a very long time, even though the ratings did dip. What did you think of it? What did you think of Night One?
Oh, it was so much fun because Joey's nice to look at. And I think he also seems very nice and like almost boring. And when that happens, the most interesting, smart, fun girls come to play. So I'm excited.
I agree.
They came to play this year. The rookies are, I mean, it's a competition. I don't know if that's because there was a big demand for Joey or what, but
yeah,
a lot of contenders.
I think he's so obviously good looking. He's also beloved. Like, me and Justine have talked about it. We haven't had a lead that we liked in a very long time, if not ever.
If not ever,
some like sour past or some like fucked up thing he did last season. Joey was pretty, you know, pretty beloved all the way till the end. I mean, we were definitely Team Dotton, but if she chose Joey, Charity, I was fine with that too. So I like that, just going in with a lead that isn't, fingers crossed, problematic in any way. and nice to look at. That's not for nothing. You know?
I love him. Fingers season, crossed. So. We'll see. Let me ask you this. This, for us anyway, it has felt, watching The Bachelor has been like hard, you know, the past whatever, 2 or 3 years. It just seemed like the producers were piling it on. It seemed like they had malicious intent toward all the players, toward the leads, even in almost every season. To us,
the
charity
Clayton
season
sucks
really
song
felt
on his Night One.
To us, charity season 20 of Bachelorette really felt like it started turning a corner, like it was going in a new direction where they were treating the players with respect a little more, and it was more about the love story than it was about how bad the producers could make the landmines that they had to walk on, you know. And I think Joey's season, for me at least, is a continuation of that, and obviously Golden Bachelor had a strong sentiment of that as well. Everybody on that season, even the villain, Kathy, if you want to call her a villain, was kind of championed. Do you think, or can you feel as you're watching the show now, that tonal shift? Do you guys see that too? Or is this just me and Lizzie in our own world?
Good question.
I really don't want to trust them this much. Right? I'm nervous to see what they're going to do with women. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, this is like a patriarchal system. This is a system that really leans on a lot of the ideals of the American dream, the great old American TV show. And I don't know what they're going to do with a bunch of young ladies. And
you
that young lady throwing that card in that fire, I can't. Both of us could not even handle it. We hated it.
You hated her throwing the card?
Hated it. Why didn't you use it? Why didn't you use it for the good of the TV show? Why didn't you use it for the good of the cast? Why didn't you take it from their one-on-one date from the villain? Why?
To
good
us,
of the TV
that
show, we got to see her throw something in the fire.
I think, though, too, to us, it was kind of exactly what you're talking about. The card is a trap. The producers put that trap in her hand and said, spring this. We're going to watch you fail. We're going to watch you use this, and everybody's going to hate you for it, or you're going to use it in the wrong way. That card was meant to make her a villain. And she said, no, thank you. Let me throw this in the fire. Now, in order to throw it into the fire, she had to have a whole conversation with producers saying, I don't want to use this. Can I just get rid of it? And then the producers probably told her to throw it in the fire so it would be more dramatic or whatever. But what she did in that decision, I thought anyway, was turn the whole thing around on the producers and say, you were going to use this to railroad me. Instead, I'm going to use it to make me the hero of the episode. Now, producers, you have to give me the first impression, Rose, which they did. And now, producers, you have to basically bake in a season-long run for me. I think she got a hometown out of that play, personally.
But you guys were disappointed because you wanted to see her utilize it. The card might not be dead, right?
Couldn't someone else theoretically get it? Because I was really anticipating whatever crazy lie she was going to come up with to tell Joey, and then the next lie to tell the girls, because that's what I would have done. But, you know, I've never done a game show.
Say something different is on the card.
Not yet.
Not yet.
All right.
Question. You all were going back and forth on whether you were covering Bachelor or not. Now you are coming out from behind the paywall. I'm curious, what went into these decisions?
Well, we came back for Joey definitely because we love Joey, so we just felt like it would be a really good season. But yeah, we really just want more people to hear us. I think Patreon's been really good to us. Our Rose Garden, shout out to the Rose Garden, our community on Patreon has been very good to us. We've always believed, you know, we think we've been an important voice in Bachelor Nation, and also on socials, and just want to open up the conversation for more people to, you know, join in on the conversation with us. We just celebrated 6 years of Two Black Girls, One Rose.
Wow. Yeah, just insane.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, just want to like mark this milestone like with a pivot and opening up our audience, you know, and we were really excited about Joey's season in particular. So we thought it was the right time to come and do this. Yeah. Anything else you want to add, Justine? Did I get everything?
No, I think that was it. Yeah.
It's Joey mania.
Joey did this.
You've got a case.
Joey's changing everything across the nation. You mentioned Joey's season. But I also want to talk about a little bit Golden Bachelor and what you think its impact has been on Bachelor Nation as a whole, or how the show is getting produced, because we now are getting, you know, rumors that seem very credible that Paradise has been canceled due to its low ratings, and we're not going to get a Paradise season 10. And what will likely be the lineup for this year is going to be Bachelor 28, Bachelorette 21, Golden Bachelorette 1, Golden Bachelor 2. That is likely the four Bachelor Nation shows we'll get. Do you feel that Golden Bachelor has affected kind of Bachelor Nation as a whole in a good way, in a bad way? What did you think of Golden Bachelor?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah, loved it.
Same. I think everybody did.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah, it was really good. Whether you watched it really seriously and very with sentimental feelings and cried every week, or you were laughing with Kathy and Susan every week, every week you enjoyed yourself.
I was crying and laughing.
Both.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah. I mean, this show's never made me cry ever. Yeah. And I cried several times during Golden Bachelor. It was ridiculous. But yeah, I think part of why we tune into The Bachelor is for the romance. Of course, the drama the last few years has really taken over, but people love love. That's why it's such a universal concept that we all understand, and we, you know, it tugs at everyone's heartstrings no matter what. But I think Golden Bachelor, the focus was really on the romance and the love. It was like nostalgic in that way, even like nostalgic to old seasons of The Bachelor before they really got crazy with, you know, producer interventions and drama. And so I think it was a huge win for the franchise, and kind of proved to maybe production, to audiences, that while the drama is good, there's so many shows on TV now where we can get that good drama. The Bachelor is like, it's such an old school show. Just give us the old school romance. And when they did that, it was a success. And so I'm happy to hear that it's coming back. It's, you know, Bachelorette's coming and a Golden Bachelorette's coming. And we don't really need paradise. So I love that announcement.
I mean, I'm not making the announcement.
Clues keeps announcing it on every episode, and I refuse to believe it.
I think it's very credible, I will say. I mean, the ratings for Bachelor in Paradise were just hemorrhaged off half of their lead-in, which was Golden Bachelor.
What?
And it was Toilet City. They were losing basically every week across all networks. And so I think ABC is looking at that and is just like, yeah, we do four Bachelor shows every year. They pretty much do a Bachelor, a Bachelorette, a Paradise, sometimes two Bachelorettes. Last year it was Golden Bachelor in Paradise. So they've got their four Bachelor shows. They can cover the same amount of airtime over the course of the year without Paradise. And I think that's what they're going to try this year. And I think it'll work. And therefore, I think Paradise never comes back.
Can I just say one thing too about the Golden Bachelor? Because you asked about what it did for the nation. I think too, what Golden Bachelor is the only way that I trust diversity handled with the Bachelor producers is with elderly people.
Okay. Why is this?
That's it. Be more gentle.
I mean, with this elderly white man who this like expose came out about that nobody really cared about, like really, really. I think they just handled not only the love portion of it, but also the intimacy, like the sex portion of it. I think they handled it really, really well. So this diversity age, they can handle. They got it. And that's exciting.
Yeah. No, I agree. They selected a very good Golden Bachelor. And like you said, there was that hit piece that came out from The Hollywood Reporter where they were like, he was actually dating someone else. And he had a different job than he said he did.
And
that just didn't stick. That just didn't stick.
Yep.
No.
I agree. They protected him well. I think he was probably made to hide the other relationship by producers. Yeah. Yeah. I think that was like part of his narrative. Mm-hmm. But he came out of it pretty much squeaky clean. The wedding went off without a hitch.
I cried at the wedding.
You cried at the wedding?
You cried?
Oh. When the daughter was like talking about Billy, right. I don't know. It just, I was not expecting that at all.
Yeah.
You didn't cry when he said, "Don't stop believing" for the 100th time.
No, it wasn't that.
God. I don't think I cried at the wedding, but I think I got a little choked up during the vows. Not that the vows were that good, but just seeing these like pretty old people like finding love together again was I mean, I've never been to a wedding of anybody over the age of like 40-45 maybe. And so that was like just rare to see and to like be in attendance at, and that was really sweet. So that was where I got a little little sentimental.
Well, I think, I mean, this may be reading way too much into it, maybe not, I don't know, but I think coming out of the pandemic there is we've all had to reckon with a little bit our closeness to mortality. I think that is like, it's a more forefront kind of issue in human psychology just in the world globally. And that show primarily, yes, it's about finding love and all of that, but a big kind of subtext under it all was like, we're old, we ain't got much time. They were making jokes like that kind of constantly. And so the speed at which they got married after the show and all of the stuff kind of fit into that idea of it's never too late, but time is running out. Don't forget, time is running out. And I think that connected with a lot of us because of the pandemic, because we all came out of this thing where it was like we had to, you know, metaphorically at least stare death in the face because it was an ever-present kind of specter in human culture. Again, could be reading too much into it. I have no idea, but this is what I do all day.
No, I think it is definitely impacted by that. And I think the world events do change the course of this franchise a lot. I think that part of the coming out of the pandemic thing is that we don't want like stress in our reality TV. We want to be rooting for the characters. We want to have hope. Mm-hmm. Like we need an escape from like everything that's going on. Maybe that's always been true, but
can I ask you,
agree.
What do you think about Braden Bowers and how he was treated as a villain in Charity Lawson season?
We've seen worse villains. I didn't really look at Braden as a villain.
Me either.
Exactly. That's kind of the point. Like, I think that there was a shift in that season. I almost put kind of the turning of the tone in The Bachelor on Braden Bauer specifically, because prior to him, especially in the bubble seasons, all the seasons they shot during the pandemic, those villains were put front and center as like, hate this fucking person, send them death threats, this is a bad person. With Braden, they didn't do that. They made him a viable dating candidate for charity, and then even he got lauded. I mean, he's a hero of Bachelor Nation now because of the Christina Mandrell proposal, even though some people are like, you shouldn't propose at a wedding or whatever, but they took their villain and made him likable, which is something that hasn't happened in a long time in Bachelor Nation. And I think that's a part of kind of the idea of like, you can watch this show now and not feel bad about anything. It's really fun. Even the villains are like fun and funny, and we like them, like Kathy in Golden Bachelor. And I think you're probably going to see that in the season we're watching right now, Joe Grazie Day. I don't know who's going to emerge as our villain. It's looking like Jess.
Yep. From the tone of Jess's social media, it does sound like she's gotten death threats.
Oh, God.
Just from the jumpsuit?
I don't know. I just, not the just like, thanks to the people who are supporting me for the jumpsuit.
Oh my God.
No, all right. I like the jumpsuit.
Let me ask you both about this. You're covering Traitors. Did you watch season one?
No.
Same.
Oh,
so
really?
So you jumped in on season two?
Yeah,
just chopped in.
Yeah. Same. As of Peter, and what did you? What are you thinking of this show?
Oh my God, it's great! But doesn't it remind you of Celebrity Apprentice 2006? Doesn't it give that
a little bit? Yes, the dark wooden tables, just the kind of like visual tone of it is a little similar. Yeah.
Yeah. This like Illuminati type of set that they have going, and even like Alan Cummings' extreme wardrobe.
I love that beautiful wardrobe.
Yeah, I love it. So
eating up.
He's eating. Yeah. But he's amazing. It's such a like. It's almost like a contrast from them, and how those villains are portrayed are so fun. Phaedra is one of the best TV villains ever.
Yeah.
Cruz
had never watched
husband.
Atlanta, and so I'm so excited to see him discovering Phaedra, because I'm just like, she's an icon, and she's crushing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, so what that show is doing for me is it's kind of, I've started to do my own research into these people and look up YouTube clips of all of them and stuff. If I haven't watched their original seasons or whatever shows, like Dan, who is a traitor, I just watched a thing that he did on Big Brother called Dan's Funeral that is like mind-blowing game strategy. Highly recommend checking that out if you haven't seen it. But I really love that show. It's part of what I have kind of dubbed third wave reality TV, which is after the kind of glut that we saw of everything from early 2000s to now, with just so many different kinds of shows that were shot in like a real world style. We now are getting this third wave of shows like Traitors, House of Villains, Special Forces, that are taking stars from all the other franchises and putting them together to see head to head which kind of martial arts style will win in these games. Is a housewife going to win? Is a bachelor player going to win? A Big Brother player? And I love it. I absolutely love it. And I guess my question is, where do you see this type of thing going with all these third wave shows? Is it kind of like a...
Like Perfect Match second... as well.
What's
I was
going
to say.
Oh, yeah,
Perfect Match
as well.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect Match, I guess, is exclusively Kinetic Content's third wave show. But where do you see the expansion of this going in the near future? Mm-hmm. And will we see a fourth wave? And what will that even be? I have no idea.
Fourth wave?
Oh, my God. The fourth wave. Damn, yeah. Getting deep in there. Shit. Put together my dissertation.
I
feel like
done
these shows
years,
are here to
that's
stay.
A PhD.
I think season one of Traitors we didn't watch, but the casting we know what you know everyone's going crazy over. Season two, they're hitting heavy with the casting. Season three, I mean, Housewives is endless. The challenge is endless. So many of these shows have been on for so long. Survivor is endless. Big Brother is endless. There's just a trove of like super villains, super players. So I don't see an end. I think it's only going to keep going, which is really exciting. And what I really like about Traitors too, like, you know, we didn't watch season one either. I'm not a Big Brother person. I'm not a Survivor person. It didn't take me long to get to know, what's her name? Parvati. Dan and Sandra. Like, it didn't really take me long to get to know and understand them. And that like the barrier to entry to this show is is pretty low as well. Mm-hmm. So like you could literally just be a Housewives fan, come in and still like enjoy the show, which I love. Yeah. And mm-hmm. so I think it'll always in a way that like Perfect Match might not, because it's like the whole genre of dating reality, so or reality dating show. So if you don't watch that genre at all, you might not recognize any of these people. But I think Traitors pulls from so many different types of shows that I think the staying power is pretty long. Mm.
Yeah,
there's something for everyone.
Also, really quick, I would love to know if both of you guys think this, Chad and Lizzie, do you think that they're kind of, almost a little bit, running out of people for these other reality shows? Because at this point, we knew three people who knew other people on The Ultimatum season
Whoa.
Two. Like, it's getting close. It's getting close. I now know by third party somebody who knows Lexi from The Bachelorette, The Bachelor this season. Like, it's getting close. We're all getting a little close. So these ensemble casts of all-stars works well because they don't have to cast new people.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, Andy Warhol had that famous quote, in the future, everybody will be famous for 15 minutes. I think the next version of that is everybody will be famous for their entire lives, because you are, your mom is taking sonogram pictures of you and putting it on the internet. So there will be pictures and data of you for your entire life. Even what we're doing now, to some degree, we're talking about these shows, and in one way or another, we're now in that world. I think that, yeah, everyone is going to be a reality TV, in quotes, star. Just depends on like how many people are watching your show. But your show is going to be your life. I think that's coming pretty soon. But I agree with you. It is getting to that point where it's like, wait a minute, didn't I go to high school with that guy? Like, I have that maybe 10 times a day if I'm just watching TV. You know? But I like it personally. I think it's good for the genre.
Oh my God, yeah. What's the fourth wave? Have you thought of this? What's your thesis?
Yeah, I think the fourth wave is something like, are you watching what Mr. Beast is doing at all?
Yes.
No, Justine, only just tell doing me about him.
Yeah. I don't watch his content. I just know what he's doing.
What's he doing?
It's very impressive. He obviously has more money than anyone. He's the biggest YouTuber in the history of the platform. He's making his own reality shows that are based on like psychosocial kind of dynamics. So he'll put, like, for example, one of them is he put two people in a grocery store, and he said, every day that you survive in here, you get more money, up to $1 million, I think it was. And they're like, okay, great. So these two people have to live in a grocery store for like a month or whatever it was. Every day when they go to sleep, they send in crew to take out, like, the cereal aisle is just gone when they wake up the next morning. They're like, what the fuck? And so it's like, are you going to tap out as we slowly take away your creature comforts?
Oh, my God.
But I think fourth wave is something like that. It's like independently produced reality TV shows that require, you're talking about barrier of entry, require nothing. Like, you'll be able to make it on your MacBook with a little AI. And I think that's probably where it goes. Making reality shows for smaller groups of people that are germane to like things specifically in their lives, potentially. Potentially.
Look, I'm excited for the Justin and Susie show. Speaking of making your own reality show, I'm like, they're going to make their own reality show.
Yeah.
Justin and Susie? Who? Oh, Justin Glaze. Yes, and Susie. I was like, wait a second. Who?
Big announcement.
Yeah,
I know.
They made their big announcement. Speaking of social media, what do you both think of where social media is in terms of how it relates to these reality shows now? We've seen a big dip in Bachelor players' numbers, but other shows are getting big upticks. And is it just a matter of what's the most popular show at the time? Or is it that people are moving to TikTok? Or what is going on in your opinions with social media as it relates to all this?
I feel like... Yeah, I don't know. I feel like social is getting so diluted. There's just so many people like on it. And I think Justina and I were just talking about this. Like, there's so many people on Instagram alone who have over 1 million followers. Like, I don't even know who these people are. So I think it's just the content's getting diluted, the number of people, the demand for stars on the like, it's just getting too hard, I think, to garner as many people. And then I think with content just on TV a lot, like, there's so many TV shows, there's so many movies, like, I think people are kind of, I don't want to say maxed out, but like, how many people can you follow? How many people do you care about to follow? At some point you have to kind of just like hone in on your core group of creators that you're, you know, invested in. So I think a little bit of that could be happening. Yeah, I and then I think, yeah, with The Bachelor, like I haven't been following the numbers yet for the contestants, but we saw like with Zach's season, like previous seasons, like they're not getting, you know, the numbers that they used to get. I think at least what we saw with cast bios for this season, like a lot of the girls, their Instagrams all kind of look the same. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what is the value add for me to follow another girl doing another girl with, you know, another get ready with me? So I think people are kind of just maxed. I don't know if they're maxed out on content or they're really looking for something different, like a Mr.
People
Beast
need
who's
to
creating content
down.
You've never seen before.
The girl
so it's
needs
gonna
to
get hard.
Just do voodoo doll videos.
Yeah, yes. You gotta get real niche with it. Yeah.
Yes, especially with the emphasis that social has on video now. There's not really room for you to be cookie cutter as much as there used to be. I mean, there is, obviously. You can always do the same thing in the same voice and do the same influencer voice and whatever. But I think there's a lot of emphasis now on nuance. I don't know if you guys have heard about Corporate Erin.
No, what's Corporate Erin?
Oh, Corporate Erin is fabulous. Hilarious. Yeah. So Corporate Erin is a Black woman who has this crazy wig that she puts on and a really interesting manager voice. She says she's the manager of Big Management at Big Management Managers. And she, just yesterday I watched a video of her doing a pregnancy, like a maternity leave video. And she was talking about the pregnancy portal. And she was like, well, you have to log into the pregnancy portal and then you can just tell us if you're pregnant or not. And then, you know, we'll give you like 48 hours of maternity leave and then you can come back and like log into your pregnancy portal. And she's making fun of how terrible managers are.
Yeah.
But she's all over the place. She's on the news, everything. So there's something in nuance that lives in nuance that a lot of Bachelor contestants don't have access to because they're all trying to be Hannah Brown.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do think that the kind of social media path for most Bachelor players has become really distilled down to that. It's Hannah Brown, Hannah Godwin, do exactly what they're doing. And maybe that is a little outmoded now. Things are changing. And I do think you're right. You have to bring something more to the table. You got to be funny. You got to be creative. You got to be doing something interesting. But even the people who are doing that, at least in Bachelor, aren't seeing the big gains. But we still do see big gains, like Love is Blind people. Brett and Tiffany, they both hit over 500K that season. And granted, they were the star couple of that season who were like massively supported by producers and everything. But, you know, that being said, even the other players on that season all cracked 100K, which is something that you don't see that often now in Bachelor. I always wonder if it's just a matter of that. Like the amount of followers that the big stars get from certain franchises, I think, is kind of indicative of the cultural impact of that show. And I think Love is Blind now, it's kind of like hard to argue that that's the biggest dating show that exists currently. Bachelor's kind of like a close second, I suppose. But anyway, I was just curious what you guys thought about where we're going with the social media numbers.
What is your favorite show that you are covering?
Ooh. I mean, right now we're covering Bachelor, we're covering Real Housewives of Potomac. And then we have a show that drops on Thursdays called Girl, What You Watchin', which is kind of a hodgepodge. We kind of just catch up on what we're watching that week on TV. So it changes. So this week was The Traitors. We'll probably keep doing Traitors because we're both watching it.
Don't you think Karen from Potomac should be on Traitors?
If who is?
Yes. I've been just like Karen. Casting who from the Housewives I want to be. And I'm like, I want Karen. I want the Countess.
Yeah, the Countess would be really good. She would get eliminated like night one. It would be
Yeah. But yeah, we're watching a lot of stuff. Like we talk about Drag Race a lot. We've been talking about Traitors. We both watch. Mm-hmm. I just talked about The Bear recently. So
the best
kind of a little
comedy.
Doing a bunch.
Yeah, best comedy. Yeah.
Supposedly.
Oh, The Bear?
Yeah.
Yeah, it won.
Supposedly it's a comedy.
It's a good one. I love that one.
It is good. Well, thank you both so much for joining us. Is there anything else that you would like to add? Any other hot takes in the nation? Where can people find you?
Ooh, hot takes in the nation. Jeez, the pressure. Like...
I'm trying to think of something like
any deep conspiracies. Like, I used to have one called Phantom Night One that was in season 16 that they of Bachelorette that they actually shot a night one with all the guys, including Dale Moss, coming out to meet Claire Crawley. Then the pandemic lockdown went into effect. They scuttled it and had to redo night one again when they went to the resort in Palm Springs.
Oh, it's been disproven again.
I still maintain
again
that it's true and happened.
You maintain? Okay, I can see that. What do you?
I can see that too.
I mean, I could share my theory on what I think the editing with Joey this season, the end, the final edit. I think it's you know, they always have the moment where they break up with the runner up. And then, like, soon after, the winner comes in and then they propose. Mm-hmm. We never see that in-between moment where the person's, like, really heartbroken after just breaking up with someone. I think they're just showing us that moment.
That's what it seems like to me.
Right? He just broke up with his runner-up, and now he's with production. He's crying. He's going to clean up and then come and propose. I think they're just showing us that footage that we never really saw.
Interesting.
I'm getting tricked,
because
they say there's a historic thing, too, that's never happened.
So, what do you think that is? And I know they overblow that shit, but like usually technically they are correct when they say those things. They never outright lie.
Mm-hmm. He breaks up with someone and then calls the car back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that could be it. He in that moment of like in that in between, he's like, I fucked up. I chose the wrong person. And they get the girl back. And then he has to do another breakup with the second girl. God, that would be horrible.
That would be horrendous. Yeah, we'll go live on Instagram.
Then again, I'm like, I don't know. Then I think they would call it the most dramatic season if that were true.
Yeah, they would call it the most dramatic. Yeah, definitely.
That would be, though. That would live up to that.
Truly.
That description, I think. God, I hope that happens. That would be intense as hell. And then you obviously know who the Bachelorette is.
I know. Better be. I know.
Wow. Yeah, maybe that's true. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there. I hope it's not a letdown. I don't think it will be, because I just, for what it's worth, I think the people who are making this show care about it again in a way that they haven't in a while. I think they've got some new blood in the producer kind of hierarchy. Feels and like I know it. that new blood isn't necessarily the ones making the huge creative decisions, but I think they're affecting how the show is getting put together. Even there was something that I noticed in this the night one that was just a shot selection that we'd never seen in Bachelor before. They used a drone to fly in over the pool toward the mansion. Just changing like the angle of how they present the mansion made it feel a little new, even though it's the same fucking mansion. They're just shooting it from a different angle, using a different technique. Even something like that, that like they clearly haven't even thought about for the past 20 years. Somebody in there is like, oh, what if we did this? And they're like, you know what? Let's try it. Even just that attitude of like, yeah, fuck it, let's have fun with this again. Yeah. To me, that's coming through the document, but maybe it's just me. I don't know.
No, I think so. I could see that. I think we recorded with Rose Pricks this week as well, and they pointed out something we didn't notice. When the girls were coming out of the limo, they used to have the opening packages where they'd show like five girls opening package and then start limo. This time they kind of like spliced it together, like a limo with a package. Yeah. A limo with
they
a package.
They started doing that a couple seasons ago, and we noticed that as well. And we were like, "That's
keep
how you
doing
do it."
New.
Yeah,
because then you can track who they're actually talking about.
Yeah,
you don't remember when they're front loaded like that.
Exactly.
Where can everyone find you both on the socials?
Yeah. Well, thanks for having us, guys. This was fun. Yes. Always. We love recording with you guys, and we're happy to have you on. What are you coming on? Next week? Next week on our pod?
We can't wait.
Yeah. I'm excited.
To discuss episode 2 of Bachelor.
Yes. You can listen to us everywhere podcasts are found. We're everywhere now, guys. So after you listen to Game of Roses, come listen to us. Our Bachelor recaps drop on Wednesdays. As I said, we're doing Potomac currently on Tuesdays. On Thursdays is our Girl What You Watching, where we're talking about all kinds of different TV shows. We'll be covering Love is Blind. That's coming up soon, so you can listen to that as well. And yeah, find us on Instagram, on TikTok, on Patreon for some video and bonus content. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, our pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Clues. A Mother's Day is coming up.
That's true.
You know, that's one of the most important holidays. We got to honor our mothers. They all went through a lot to get us here into this planet. And the gifts for Mother's Day, they can be a little predictable and boring. Sweaters, candles, the dreaded bathrobe. You only need one bathrobe, in my opinion. That's why Aura Frames is the perfect gift to mix things up this year. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected. They come with unlimited storage. You can share as many photos as you want from your phone to your mom's frame. Not only is she going to be grateful that it's not just another sweater for Mother's Day, she's also going to love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you.
Or in my case, she gets to see more of my cat, Skaboolian. My mom loves seeing him rolling around, playing with his toys, doing whatever, and I can upload as many images of him as I want every day, and my mom gets to see them in her Aura frame and then text me about it for all the rest of the day.
Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Everybody listening to Game of Roses can save on that perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code ROSES at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Clues. I quit bras during the pandemic. I said no more. They're not comfortable. I'm being comfy as a lifestyle. And I couldn't picture a bra that would exist that I would want to wear. But today's sponsor, Honeylove, has revolutionized the bra game. They don't have underwire. They don't have bulky fabrics. And they are so soft. Basically feels like a second skin, which is the only type of bra I will be wearing in the year of our gore, 2024. Mm-hmm. I got the crossover bra, the black runway one. It has this cute like mesh that adds peekaboo mesh that adds this very sexy touch. So it's like, doesn't look like it's, you know, a comfortable bra, but it is. And I guess I'm a bra person again, it turns out.
Well, congrats, Pace Case. I know it's a big step for you. Right now, you can treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/roses. Use that exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/roses. After you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support Game of Roses and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
Clues, you know, I'm on my year of health, 2024. I'm trying to really focus on that. You know, I've got my career in order. I've got, you know, other aspects of my life, but I eat badly and I take care of myself badly. But that is changing now. I have discovered Lumi. Lumi is a game-changing whole-body deodorant designed by an OBGYN to work not only on pits, but also feet, privates, and everywhere else we get odor. I use their wipes. I use their, they have a traditional deodorant stick too, which I use, a lovely coconut smell about it. And no matter where you use it, Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day long, all thanks to its one-of-a-kind pH-optimized formula. They have over 275,000 five-star reviews to show for it.
It's baking soda-free, it's paraben-free, it's pH-balanced for safe use below the belt, clinically proven to control odor better than a shower with soap alone. 12 hours after a shower, the average person has an odor level of 6 out of 10. Did you know that?
That's
a
disgusting.
High level. With Lumi, the average odor level is, guess what? 0 out of 10.
Yes.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice. You could get mini body wash, you can get deodorant wipes, whatever you want, and free shipping. And as a special offer for everyone listening right now, new customers are going to get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code ROSES at LumiDeodorant.com. That's L-U-M-E deodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off the starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use that code ROSES. Can't thank Justine and Natasha enough for joining us. They're always very insightful. An incredibly important voice in the nation. And now we will move on to that portion of our program in which we discuss all the movements across social media of our favorite players, as well as, again, you're going to want to hear this, the ratings for Joey Graziadei's Night One. This is
This Week in
Games.
is.
After years of what seemed to be an inevitable slide into oblivion by all network TV shows, night one of Joey Graziadei's Bachelor Season 28 has done the impossible by, listen to this, adding more viewers.
What?
Yes.
Had more than last year?
More total viewers than Shawcross's night one. This is a feat that has only happened a handful of times over the course of the show's rich history.
While the ratings did follow the unavoidable trend of network TV death with a 25% dip from Zach Shawcross's premiere, Grazi managed to increase total viewership by about 3%, raking in 3.178 million viewers and earning a 0.53 in the 18 to 49-year-old demo. That number was enough to dominate the field across all network TV, laying waste to AGT Fantasy League on NBC with a 0.37, The Neighborhood on CBS with a 0.35, and the season debut of America's Most Wanted on Fox, which limped into the contest with a 0.29.
Joey Graziadei is certainly a more compelling bachelor than his predecessor, Zach Shawcross, but does that alone account for this historic viewership number, or is it perhaps that everything we've been saying here at Gore in this year of our Gored 2020 Gore, is everything that we've been saying about how to save the Bachelor franchise actually now being implemented?
Sound off. In your 5-star reviews.
Indeed.
This is my new update to sound off in the comments.
Yeah.
Don't sound off in the comments. Sound off in the 5-star reviews. Thank you.
I love it.
I'm really proud of us. I think we manifested this through Opto 2023.
I agree.
And our episode where we said all the changes that need to happen.
I mean.
And now.
Yeah. I'll just leave it at that. I'll leave it at that.
Very gracious.
Thank you.
Now for those crown gains, Joey gained 33.4K on Instagram for a total of 250K followers and gained 14.5K on TikTok for a total of 15.7K followers. Now for the top five Instagram gains. This is as of today, Thursday, January 25th. Number one, the Christmas tree enthusiast Daisy Kent gained 42.3K for a total of 61.3K Instagram followers.
Just for measurement statistics here, in terms of that gain, do you know how many followers Zach Shawcross gained his first week?
13K.
4,100.
Oh no.
That's correct. So we're seeing a drastic increase. A 33.4K gain as opposed to 4,000. We're seeing a drastic increase in the social media engagement of at least our crown. Moving on. Sorry to derail.
That's important info.
Second place Instagram gain is night one girl, Sandra Rabadi, gaining 7.1K for a total of 11.6. Dark Seeker has a note here for us. Throughout the week, Sandra's following was going from 12K to 15K before landing on 11.6K. All dramatic movements and numbers too high for a night one girl with zero screen time. I put her profile into a fake follower software, and only 17% of her following, about 2,000, is active, and 83% of her followers are inactive bots. Dark Seeker.
Interesting.
Doing the hard work to get to the bottom of these
Nothing
gains.
Gets past Dark Seeker.
That's right. This looks like a very suspicious 7.1K gain to the Dark Seeker. She will get to the bottom of it. Rest assured.
I know that maybe some people think that's bad, but if you're a night one player, I kind of think this is a good thing to do.
Oh, yeah. She shouldn't have stopped at 7.1K. She should have paid
$150,000
to have cracked 1 million Instagram followers. Let that be the story. How the fuck did she do that? Huh?
Hey, she made it on Gains, so it was successful in some regard.
A little juice out of it.
Third place goes to Femme recipient Leah Kayanen, gained 4.3K for a total of 9K.
And Vin Diesel's protege, Maria Georges, gained 3.9K for a total of 24.4.
Rounding out the top five is voodoo doll enthusiast Kelsey Anderson. She gained 2.6K for a total of 7.4K.
And so the top five Instagram chart of Bachelor Season 28 is, in first place, Daisy Kent takes that top spot with 61.3K.
Friend of Vin Diesel, Maria Gorgas, moves down to second place with 24.4K.
Edwina Dorber, third place, 11.7K.
Fourth place, Night One Girl, Samantha Washington, 11.1K.
And Star Skylar, 10.0K.
Why are you saying it like that?
That name is hilarious to me, Star Skylar. I don't know if that's a real name or not. If it is, her parents were like, our last name is Skylar. Let's name our daughter Star. It's just great. It's like having a last name Money and then naming your son Cash. Things of that nature, you know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Anyway, it's top five TikTok chart coming right up. Kira Brush sits at the top of the mountain with 118.6K.
Star Skylar in second with 74.7K.
Probably for her name alone. Third place in that Gen Z social media chart is Daisy Kent, 73.9K, has gained 33.1K.
Nice. I think I know why. She has some great parasocial plays coming up. Fourth, speaking of great parasocial plays, Edwina Dorber's in fourth with 62.6K.
And Jen Tran is in fifth place with 20.3K. Now, what do you got? You got something? That look on your face, I was like, are you about to deliver some hot tea on Edwina Dorber?
Well, she's in the parasocial plays as well.
Oh,
that's all I'll say.
Can't wait.
The tier play extraordinaire.
Well, up next, we got all those delicious tids for you. This is Bachelor Nation News.
Bachelor Nation News.
Up first in Bachelor Nation news, two superstars that everyone in the nation already thought were dating have made it official. Bachelor Season 26 Final Rose Rejector Gore Girl Susie Evans and Bachelorette Season 17 Runner-Up and Glaze family member Justin Glaze are a couple.
The All-Stars gave E! Their exclusive relationship announcement via interview this week. Evans didn't beat around the bush, saying, Justin is my boyfriend. We're dating.
Glaze met Evans in November 2022, not long after her relationship with former The Ultimate Viking came to an end when he needed a videographer for a work project and slid into her DMs. And it turned out they had more in common than date cards and roses, with the East Coast natives moving to Los Angeles within 6 months of meeting each other. And while they always had a flirty rapport, their relationship remained platonic, Evans said. Evans said, Justin dated people, I dated people. So the narrative of us being truly just friends was true.
It wasn't until October 2023 in the City of Icons, aka Los Angeles, they began to turn up the heat on their friendship. After a fateful night at a bar with some friends, they realized they were the only ones from their group still there. Susie had left her car at Justin's place, but before they headed back, she suggested they make a pit stop at a 7-Eleven for some snacks.
Glaze remembered the event by saying, I was like, oh, this tone seems a little bit different. In the back of my head, I was like, if you're serious, I'm serious. That was kind of my mindset. I'd always been testing the lines, and I wasn't sure if she'd go for it, so I didn't want to cross those boundaries.
When they got back to Glaze's domicile, they revealed their hidden desires. Glaze recalled, we had a really nice conversation, and I kind of just went for it. I was like, hey, listen, I don't know where you stand on our friendship or relationship. Obviously, I respect you so much and I appreciate our friendship, but I'd be lying if I said I haven't thought about if there's potential for more than a friendship, just given the natural chemistry that we had as friends.
Then the couple engaged in their first chemistry play with some kissing on Glaze's couch, and their relationship was notched up from platonic to romantic. But not wanting to mess up the dynamic of their friend group, they tested out their romance in private for the first few weeks. And while they eventually told a few pals, they still wanted to keep things pretty hush-hush for all the right reasons.
Now, 3 months and several flirty Instagram posts later, They're going strong and happy to be able to publicly display their affection for one another on social media.
Congrats go out to Evans and Glaze. While we're sad we won't get to see the Glaze family dynasty continue on Perfect Match Season 2.
Oh my God.
We couldn't be
happier. That's what I wrote about it in the Parasocial Place too.
That's my main takeaway from this is that, oh fuck, he's not going to be on Perfect Match. We couldn't be happier for the score girl and her new official boyfriend.
Love this power couple. I'm so excited to see the content coming out of it. Speaking of secret romances in the nation, our next item of Bachelor Nation news involves girl Caitlin Bristow, the one true goat, and Bachelorette season 16 second half ring winner and five-part PTC maestro Zach Clark, fueling the rumor mill once again after they were seen enjoying one another's company in influence country. That's New York City.
Whoa. Last Saturday, Bristow and Clark were spotted in a nightclub making mutual merriment in a clip shared via Bachelor Nation Scoop's Instagram account. Bristow and Clark were engaged in claw play featuring a high-level handhold as they danced to one of Tiesto's most thoughtful EDM anthems, Wasted. During the video's thrilling climax, Bristow is seen wrapping her arms around Clark and pulling him into a level 2 hug.
What's a level 2 hug?
You know what it is.
Okay. In earlier clips shared on Saturday, the unofficial pair were seen enjoying a tantalizing meal together in New York's West Village. What was Bristow's official motive for the trip to influence country? Clark's coming-of-age celebration, which took the form of an 80s-themed soiree? For most, it takes minimal effort to conjure the memories of footage from Bristow's New York New Year's Eve party, hosted at her own home in Slider Country. That footage featured Bristow performing another arm-wrap-to-hug maneuver that left the nation to speculate about the true nature of their relationship. For the record, I told Clues, it seems like they're dating and he denied me. Is this new footage hard evidence of a new high-level all-star player romance? Or is it nothing more than casual friends, fun flirtation, fueling fourth audience fornication fabrication? Wow. Wowie.
Had to be done.
Casual friends, fun flirtation, fueling fourth audience, fornication, fabrication.
Up next in Bachelor Nation news. Perhaps the best tier player of all time, Ashley Iaconetti, is pregnant again. The creamy Caesar enthusiast took to Amazon Live with the man she forces to dress as Aladdin last Monday to make the announcement. Jared Iaconetti said, "We want Dawson to have a sibling. That's very important. Both of us come from families with two kids, so we wanted to give that to Dawson."
They better name it Pacey. Mm. The Iaconetti's partnered with Amazon, heard of it, sharing a few of their must-haves as the Poe rival enters her second pregnancy. The man whose friend zone was dismantled by Ashley Iaconetti described his love of the Jeff Bezos-created online delivery corporation by saying, "Amazon is just a freaking lifesaver. I mean, we're very lucky that we live in a time where we can get something literally a day or two after we order it."
Ashley revealed that her pregnancy has been easier than her first, saying, "I had, I don't know how to pronounce this, hyperemesis." Is that right? Hyperemesis.
Sounds right.
Hypermesis gravidarum last time. So that meant that basically I threw up almost every, well, I threw up multiple times a day up to about 30 weeks. And the first 16 to 18 weeks were just absolutely debilitating. So I'm just so freaking grateful that I'm not experiencing that. Congrats go out to this parasocial power couple on bringing another possible parasocial star into our dying world.
I hope if I have a kid, you write me a card that says, "Congrats bringing a kid into the dying world."
Okay, I can make that happen.
Speaking of superstar players having kids, the male great one spoke with E! This week about his incoming progeny and his attitude about her eventually discovering his role as one of the greatest players in the history of our beloved game. He said, "Everything I have now in my life comes from my time on The Bachelor. So for all the ups and downs I experienced, I have a lot of gratitude in terms of where it got me. I'm sure she'll learn about my experiences and we'll have some fun with it. I'm sure she'll give me a hard time."
We can't wait for this new addition to the nation, and we couldn't be happier for the great one, Natalie Joy, as they await the imminent arrival of what could be the greatest player in the history of all of reality television.
Joyal. Closing out Bachelor Nation news, we want to wish a big happy 40th birthday to Zach Clark, who hit that momentous milestone on January 17th. Enjoy your next trip around our fading star.
And now, let's move on to all of those delicious plays our favorite players are making on the telephone. This is...
the Parasocial Play of the Week. The Grotzy Rookies were out in full force this week. Parasocially, everything is coming up. Daisies. Nice. Christmas tree player Daisy Kent, thank you, lip syncs to the Miley Cyrus audio about having more than chemistry over an image of her first meeting Joey. The caption reads, hashtag The Bachelor, whisper face emoji, 15.4K likes, 879K views on Instagram. On TikTok, 88.6K likes and 1.8 million views.
Jesus. That's unreal.
I mean, superstar. She's rocketing to the top of the charts.
Yeah, absolutely. Right along with her is Voodoo Doll player Kelsey Anderson, who posted a short but sweet TikTok in which she lip syncs Under the Chiron, the DeLulu, after talking to him for 5 seconds. To the audio, he's obsessed with me. The offering garnered 333 likes and 15K views.
I'm sorry, I messed up the order of this, but there's another Daisy Kent play where she posted a video in which she gives additional information regarding the cocktail party scene where she couldn't hear well, with the caption, a little information on why my CI can be overwhelming for me. White heart emoji, ear, cochlear implant emoji, hashtag The Bachelor, hashtag hearing loss, hashtag cochlear implant. If you have hearing loss / CI, do you struggle in large groups? 3 hours ago, 107K views already.
Wow. The most successful tier player of night one, Evelyn Clark, made an extraordinary play this week, if you didn't see it. She referenced her quantity of tiers with relation to tier play legacy. She took the video of Ashley Iaconetti giving Kelsey Weir a giant bottle of champagne as an award on the After the Final Rose, or no, it was the Women Tell All of season 24, Bachelor season 24. This is my girl. Thank you for representing us emotional girls. And Evelyn spliced that together so it looks like Ashley Iaconetti is giving the champagne bottle to Evelyn. Talented, brilliant, incredible, amazing, show-stopping, spectacular, never the same, totally unique, completely not ever been done before, unafraid to reference or not reference. The caption reads, when you're triggered because guys you dated never gave you flowers. Dead flower emoji, broken heart emoji, hashtag bachelor, hashtag crying, hashtag sad, 14.7K views. The attention to legacy here, it cannot be understated.
I mean, to take what you have of your night one performance, which is literally just tier play, other than her being on that giant chair, and to make this out of it, it's incredible. We need Ashley I to repost this, though.
Hopefully she will.
Are you still supporting the emotional girls?
We don't know.
Question mark. Radio Chemist player Caitlin DeBacker made an Instagram post illuminating the meaning behind her night one dress. A single slide image with the caption, I take immense pride in debuting on hashtag The Bachelor while showcasing my Vietnamese heritage through wearing an, I'm going to botch this, Ao Dai. The representation of Vietnamese traditional clothing on American television is rare, and the overwhelming love and support for my choice was truly heartwarming. As a half Vietnamese American, navigating my Asian identity can be challenging, given that many people don't readily recognize my Vietnamese or Asian background, leading to moments of isolation. However, the unwavering support and teachings from my family have been instrumental in shaping my understanding of what it means to be a Vietnamese American. I aspire to authentically celebrate being an Asian American on the show, encompassing both traditional and modern perspectives. Rose emoji, door emoji? Don't know what this emoji is.
Nor do I.
Red door.
Sister player Lauren Hollinger racked up 882.6K views and 124.8K likes for her It Takes Two beer shotgun limo exit TikTok. The Chiron reads, interviewer, do you have any special skills? Me, Caption, knew this would come in handy one day. Hashtag FYP. Hashtag The Bachelor. Hashtag Bachelor Nation ABC 1 million views.
Fire player Leia Kaimnan made a parasocial play coordinated with her double play of the game, Burning of the Card, under the Chiron, when they make you wait months to open a secret advantage that will help you in your journey to find love, but it's literally the most toxic piece of paper they could have ever given me. She lip syncs to the audio, what a waste of my day. She saves any possible backlash with the caption, which reads, y'all had me stressed night one. Still grateful, though. Okay, love you, bye. Hashtag The Bachelor, hashtag Bachelor Nation, 4.2K views.
The fourth audience got into the mix this week at Students of The Bachelor. Made an extraordinary TikTok to the popular format We're X, of course We're Y. In it, they said, we're taking a Bachelor Nation class. Of course, this is our required text. Holding up how to win the Bachelor. They even recreate Hannah Brown's infamous pedestal move, as well as ask Bachelor alumni to Zoom with them. Thank you for including our textbook in this incredible play, and we hope that you get all the players you asked to interview, including Askins Kathy. This, of course, is from Dr. Adrian Stoner's bachelor class at DePaul.
I love this. I love this. I'm Joey. I love that. the intellectualization of The Bachelor is a long time coming. Our crown Grazi finally got into the mix this week. He took our advice to make parasocial staring contest social media plays and did a joint one with the Jimmy Kimmel Instagram. In it, Grazi crushes Kimmel's co-host Guillermo in a gaze play contest, just like we knew he would. Joey also made a beautiful first TikTok. He contrasts happy pictures of himself under the Chiron, telling people I'm the Bachelor, and then sad pictures under the Chiron, actually being the Bachelor. It racked up 479.6K views, 64.1K likes on TikTok, an additional 34.1K likes, and 646K views on Instagram.
All of these were strong plays. However, there can be only one winner. Our parasocial play of the week goes to Gore Girl, Susie Evans, and Justin Glaze, a.k.a. Sustin. While the duo has made will-they-won't-they parasocial content for what feels like years, they finally confirmed the fourth audience's suspicions with a simple three-slide post. First, two professional romantic images of the pair, and then third, a compilation of short clips of the duo together. The caption reads, okay, fine, y'all were right. Laughing, crying emoji, heart hands emoji. Susie and Justin, go official on Instagram is the name of this post. Their post currently has 190.8K likes and 4.6K comments. While we are sad to think about what this might mean for the Glazeman not being the first Bachelor player to enter the Perfect Match game, we are so excited for the couple and especially excited for the parasocial content to come out of this pair. One of the best parasocial players and videographers out there is now dating the Painter King of Face Play. Let's go!
Let's go.
A haunting tribute there, written by Pace Case.
I know. Sorry.
Ultimate Vikings ghostly scream.
Too soon. I just say it for everything in my life now. Yeah. It's just constant.
It has a wide range of application. Let's discuss one creature play. Gone but not forgotten. Joan Vassos, the once talked about possible Golden Bachelorette, did a fantastic TikTok transition for her dog, Holly. Go check it out. Super cute. Congrats to Holly and to Joan Vassos for getting a Golden Creature of the Week. And now, it's time to dive deep into the pit for Pace Case and I to discuss how our fandom of this very program has drastically affected our lives. This is
Screams from the Pit!
My scream this week is particularly embarrassing, even though it's probably only a level one scream. I've had the check your machine, your car's broken light on for quite some time. Mm-hmm. It's something I have trouble keeping up with. And I finally got to the bottom of my to-do list yesterday and went to go get that oil change. And I'm in a new part of town since the last time I got it. And I was like, I don't know where to do this. And I literally had this memory. I was like, oh, I saw this car place that was called Palmer. And I took a picture of it because it was like Dark Lord, of course. Sure. And then I was just, I looked it up, it looked fine. And I was like, okay, I'm going there. And so I got my oil changed at Palmer Tire and Auto Repair. Went great. Great service. I'm very happy with it. But I felt very strange about selecting it just due to the fact that it's the same name as Dark Lord Palmer.
I mean, I think that's one of the deepest screams you've ever had. Honestly, you say it's an inconsequential scream. I have to disagree.
No.
How far would you take this? Would you go to a dentist who had the last name Iaconetti? Yes.
I had a bachelor player work on my teeth once.
Oh my God. Well, that at least is a bachelor player. That at least makes sense to me. This is simply just someone with a very common last name. Palmer is a very common last name.
That's why it's an embarrassing,
yeah,
I think.
I agree. That's why I think it's a very deep level scream. I'm just saying how much trust would you put in a same last name as a bachelor player or anyone from the Bachelor franchise in terms of allowing them to do service on things in your life? Would you go to medical? Would you have a doctor with the last name Eckerd?
Dr. Joe? Oh. I think I would trust them more if they have a bachelor name. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Nothing.
This is what's happened.
Nothing's wrong.
This is what has happened. I'm trusting him with my life.
Yeah.
Car.
Basically.
Like the most.
You get a bad oil change, your car could explode. We know that. It's proven.
Don't say that.
It's not. I'm just kidding. I don't think if you get a bad oil change, anything happens. You just got to get another oil change. I find this to be a high level scream, and I'm glad for you.
I guess.
I've never done this. I've never done anything remotely like this. I've just bought weights from a bachelor player during the pandemic.
Time to level up.
I know. I know. I'm gonna make
psychotic.
Anyone who does any kind of service industry stuff, medical or otherwise, in my life must all have the last name Vial. That could be a hard order to fill. Let me tell you about my scream. It happened this week. How do I put this? I am going to start coaching for games outside of Bachelor. I'll put it just simply that way. I'll say that much. And what has come from that decision is now a cascading tree of other decisions that have led me to a final acceptance of what my ultimate goal in life is. And it is nothing short of controlling all of reality television from the shadows. I feel like we set out a goal when we started Gore, at least I did. A big part of why I wanted to do this at all, write the book, analyze the game, do our podcast, was to see if we could, in fact, influence the show itself, influence the way it is created, influence how players are playing the game, and all of that. Within 3 years, we've done that on a level that, frankly, is higher than I thought it would have been by this point. So I take that information.
Do you think that's faster than you could have influenced the show by, like, starting as a PA?
Yeah, for sure. Because I think getting the job as a PA is probably way harder than just starting your own podcast. The barrier of entry to start a podcast is zero. do you have a computer? Yeah. You don't even need that. Do you have a cell phone? You could start a podcast with a cell phone. Getting a job on The Bachelor proper is like difficult. That is really hard. You have to know somebody who works there. You have to get somebody to put in a good word for you. Even a PA job, even like the lowest level entry level job, that's a difficult thing to do. You know this. It's the same as like network TV. Trying to crack into that and get in a writer's room is fucking difficult as hell.
Impossible.
What's that?
I said impossible.
Yeah, it is. Because and think about like specifically The Bachelor. How many PAs work on The Bachelor? 20 maybe? That's it. There's 20 of those jobs. Good luck. Right. So I think it was easier to do it this way, actually, than that way. And I think even that way, had you gotten a PA job, I think being able to have your creative ideas heard and implemented, virtually impossible to move up that
chain. Well, you definitely couldn't have done all the shadow work.
No.
You wouldn't have achieved that part of the goal.
Exactly. If you were trying to do shadow work as an official employee of the show and that gets found out, not only are you fired immediately, you're probably sued into oblivion. Whereas here, we can do whatever shadow work we want. We're under no contracts with anyone. And I think the shadow work we do is strong. And the shadow work we do has affected the show. It's now a shadow show. We've done that. It's the shadow of the pit. The show now lives in the shadow of the pit, just like Pilot Pete lived in the shadow of the mansion. So, all that said, as I'm now presented with possible opportunities to coach for other games, I am looking at a much broader scope of what reality TV is as a whole, incorporating not just games like The Bachelor and Love is Blind, certainly starting to incorporate things like Traitors, but even looking at like what does it mean to come from a Housewives, or what does it mean to come from even like a 90 Day? Could 90 Day players start to come into Traitors? I feel like there's a couple who are famous enough that maybe they could, but that show is presented completely as real, even though it's not. That has some big, you know, elements of like producer manipulation moving in it as well. But the idea that reality television really now is just kind of your entry-level job, getting on The Bachelor, getting on Survivor, Big Brother, any of the shows that exist in their own universe, getting on that as your entry level. Then how do you notch it up? How do you start going from show to show to show? Could you win a Special Forces and a House of Villains and a Traitors? Could we see someone do that? That is what I'm primarily interested in now. Helping someone achieve complete dominance of third wave reality television. That is my scream. Had you talked to me about this 3 years ago, we were just like recording this thing on a handheld recorder, sitting on my couch high as hell. I would be like, third wave, what? What are you talking about? Now, this is who I am. I'm doing fucking dissertations
COVID?
On third wave reality.
What's that mean?
TV. Yeah. Well, that too. But that's my scream. Is that this?
I mean, that's an intense scream.
Yeah, this is sucking
opening up
into
the floodgates.
Beyond opening up the floodgates, I feel like we've gone deep into what The Bachelor is and the mechanics of it and all this, obviously. But I feel like I'm seeing it at a different level now, that I'm really analyzing some of these other games and just analyzing kind of the entire scope of all American reality television. And what does it mean to be in that system, in the larger game? Not just Bachelor. Like, you go into Bachelor, if you do well there, you can matriculate up to something else. What does it mean to do that? And that's what I'm really looking at coaching now. So even when I'm looking at like coaching for Bachelor, I'm still thinking about, where does this get you next? It's not an end of itself anymore to me. It's what is next? How do we go from Bachelor to becoming Bachelorette to becoming a winner of one of these other games to becoming giant podcast host, YouTube, whatever. What is like the trajectory through the whole system? That is what I'm primarily interested in. That is my scream. Have I made documents to this end? Of course. Have I made diagrams to this end? Of course. Has anyone seen them but me? Not yet. Maybe never. Skabulous. They are, I think they can give the tone of psychopath.
It's giving psychopath.
It's like when they go into, you're watching True Detective.
Yes.
You've seen the most recent episode?
Yes.
It's like when they go into that guy's trailer and they find all the weird dolls and carvings and shit hanging. That's what I feel like my documents are. It's like, if I were to let anybody see them, it's like walking into the murderer's
red
trailer.
Red flag. Red flag.
That's right. All right. We have.
By the way, they've talked about Bachelor in both True Detective episodes.
Yeah. It's an interesting season. I'll give it that much.
Yeah, you're gonna come on and do a lax episode.
Yeah,
right?
I can't wait. Absolutely can't wait.
Yay.
Can't wait to discuss. But let's move on. We have one more scream here, and this is a scream from somebody who listens to the show. If you listen to this show and you want to have your scream right here in Screams from the Pit, all you got to do is go to patreon.com/GameOfRoses. Join us in the pit. You'll get access to our Discord. On that Discord is a channel where you can upload a 1 minute or shorter audio clip of your scream. And also people are sending in pictures and videos with them and stuff. We put that on our social media. Today's...
Yeah, the screams are getting elaborate.
They are getting very elaborate. Today's scream comes with a couple of images. This scream is from Ash. Let's listen to the scream and then let's hear this or look at these beautiful pictures.
Hello, Pace Case, Bachelor Clues, and Dark Seeker. My name is Ash. I use they, them pronouns, and I'm calling in with my scream from the pit. on a dating app for one of my prompts I had, The Bachelor is America's Greatest Sport, which usually got no responses. A couple of months ago, though, I got a message from someone saying it sounded like I was a Gore fan. I was filled with so much excitement to meet a fellow pit dweller. We talked about The Bachelor, then other things, went out on our first date, and have since completely fallen in love. On Christmas, she and I exchanged gifts. And to commemorate our very first message, I bought her the 2023 Gornament. She had the exact same idea and bought me the Pitt sweatshirt. And the cherry on top is that 2 days later, while wearing said Pitt sweatshirt, I adopted a new kitten. I had gone to the shelter recently, but just hadn't found the right one, and I think the Pitt sweatshirt was my good luck charm. She and I named him Fig, with the full legal name, Fig Body Trash Can. He only weighs 2 pounds, but in our hearts, he is the biggest of bodies. The dark energies of the pit have brought me the love of my life and my new kitten, and I couldn't be more grateful. Praise be our beloved game.
Wowee.
Oh my God.
Fig Body Trash Can is about the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
That is so good. And it's like multi-layered, because you're like, oh, I seem like a normal person. My cat's just named Fig. Yeah. And then you're like, does that stand for anything? Oh, Fig Body Trash Can. Oh, Big Body Trash. It's from Bachelor. And this guy called this other guy a Big Body Trash Can.
Yeah. And Ash has sent in 2 images here of Fig Body Trash Can. Jesus Christ. What a cute creature.
Oh, my.
And that, what a scream. Cute. I mean, look, we talk about levels of screams. It's hard to define sometimes. This is a scream that transcends. This is one of those screams that says, mm-hmm. My fandom of The Bachelor has been so overwhelming, become such a part of my life that it has drastically altered it. And then you get the synchronicities of buying one another the a pit gift, et cetera.
I had already forgotten about that part. That's like gift of the magi.
It is.
That's amazing.
Synchronicity ain't nothing. Does it have meaning? You tell me. Look deeply into it if you like. There's a lot of YouTube videos about it. But this is a beautiful screen.
I love the also just the idea of like putting it on your dating profile. Because I'm sure I had some Bachelor thing on mine. But yeah, it's not something that a lot of people ask about. Or if they do, then you get in conversations with people who are, you know, civilians. It's not.
Yeah.
And that can just be frustrating and maybe a turnoff.
I mean, we've talked about this multiple times, getting locked into a conversation with a civilian. And it's just, it just can't be done for me anymore. It's very difficult to do. I try to switch it to another reality show or a different topic altogether.
I'm like, I know I have no right to be annoyed. Like, they're just a normal person living their life. Mm-hmm. But it can be annoying. Congratulations for
Absolutely.
Finding love, for finding beautiful fashion, for finding a beautiful creature. I can't wait to see what Fig does.
Yeah, Fig Body. Hopefully Fig Body has a an Instagram or something that we can check out. Please.
Yeah, where's the Fig Body Instagram account? That is the additional material that we need.
That is true. Well, thank you though, Ash, for this incredible scream. Thank you for these images of Fig Body. And thank you everyone for joining us for this week in Bachelor Nation, the first one of Grotzi's Bachelor season 28. This season is off to a roaring start. I don't think it's going to slow down. They're doing everything right so far in this. We can't wait to see what happens next week. We hope you'll join us for it. We'll have our recap out on Tuesday, as always. And before we go, Pace Case, what is that dwabat?
It's been 7,977 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us and then.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in Three Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.